Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Promised, we are joined on the line by Advocate Bangisi, who is going to be talking to us in a short bit. Good afternoon to you, Advocate.
Good afternoon, Mkasibamhle. How are you keeping?
Siyaphila, Mkasiba Manakondo. Are you well?
Yes, I am very well. I am very well. 3 weeks later, no, I should be better now.
Lovely. Well, we are glad that you are better. Indeed, the Lord is good. Now,
yes, sir.
We are talking about the law versus the classroom, talking about undocumented learners. Now, Section 29 of our Constitution is crystal clear. Every child in South Africa has an absolute right to basic education. Yet, across the country, too many children are being turned away from classrooms because they don't have either a birth certificate or a passport or a valid visa. It is a high-stakes clash between the right to learn and immigration laws in certain instances. Now, today, we want to understand, can a school legally refuse to register an undocumented child, a child without a birth certificate? What are the risks for principals caught between the Department of Education and Home Affairs? And most importantly, what are the rights of the child? And so today the advocate is going to be helping us to understand those. Now, in South Africa, the right to basic education is enshrined in the Constitution as an unqualified right. Can you briefly explain what this means for children who do not have a birth certificate or a valid visa?
Let's start right here with the question of a birth certificate. It is essential for the purposes of dignity. Mm-hmm. This is the dignity you give to children who are born anywhere in the world, not only in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You actually recognize their existence.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yep.
And when you're able to do so, you then know that these children are registered, are accounted for, and they are alive. Just as when they will die, as you and I die, we will also be our family will acquire a death certificate. So these are a corollary. When you are born, you must have the certificate. When you die, there is a certificate issued. That's dignity at its best. And now, there are standards that are set, and this is the reason why Section 29 of the Constitution speaks directly about what it refers to as basic education. That's what it talks about, basic education. And that's what we are all about with our children. I imagine a situation where a child is born in South Africa, that child is undocumented, he is or she is a South African or is not a South African, but it's merely a child and does not have the documents. Now, the question that arises from time immemorial is, should this child be denied the very basic right to dignity, that now you are born, you should then be empowered. You should then be given the tools to live the life that is ahead of you. And imagine if we deny a child, like I was once a child, you were once a child, being denied the very basic tool to go ahead and live the life we live in. In South Africa, for instance, I speak a lot of Afrikaans, and I speak a lot of Sesotho and Setswana.
Mm-hmm.
These come from the very fact that we as children had to be together, mingled together, grow together, and we were at school able to learn these languages.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not empower a child all these very basic tools, then the life and the future and the entire legacy is wasted. And we will refer to such people as a wasted generation. That's why then section 29 says everyone has the right to a basic education, including adult basic education. And that is what we are all about. Whether you are undocumented or not, and that's what South Africa has signed for. Look, South Africa has signed the African Charter. Mm,
mm.
South Africa has signed the many other international documents, like, for instance, the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights.
Mm-hmm.
They have signed the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, and also the protocols that apply here to the African Charter. And those protocols specifically refer to children and women in this regard.
Mm.
And you look at them, you then realize, you know what? We cannot leave our own behind, those that are born here.
Mm-hmm.
And these debates come because there's always a debate that we are a sovereign country. Zimbabwe is, South Africa is, Botswana is. And therefore, if you are not documented or your parents came here illegally, the consequences that are meted out to them, they shall be meted out to you as a child.
Mm.
That's an age-old debate.
Yeah.
And that's why these international instruments were put in place, so that if my child is born in the DRC or in Swaziland, at least we know that Africans give dignity and equality when it comes to education to all children. And I remember reading a case written by one of the best judges in this country. By the way, your guess would be as good as mine.
Mm.
Judge Benenge, the JP.
Mm.
He quoted in his opening
mm.
of his judgment in December 2019, and he quoted a passage from Ellen White, which says the following: every person must face the practical realities of life,
mm-hmm.
its opportunities, its responsibilities, its defeats, and its successes.
Mm-hmm.
How he is to meet these experiences, whether he is to become master or victim of circumstances, depends largely upon his preparation to cope with them and his education. That's the entire quotation. And he takes that, he puts it in a judgment that he writes for this entire country to read from. By the way, if you are to read this judgment, and you read judgments from the Constitutional Court, even from the Supreme Court of Appeal in this country, this is the best judgment penned by a judge in this country.
Mm.
And he produces that judgment because there was a debate in the Eastern Cape about undocumented children, and they were being told, you look here, principals, and they were being told by the department itself, we are going to give you 12 months within which you can register your children, including those who are not documented.
Right.
But if after a year we discover that they are not yet documented, we will not give you budget for the following year. And that was targeting particularly these undocumented children, both who were born here and those who are basically coming with their parents or were born here to undocumented parents. And he penned a judgment where he went into what I've just referred to in international law.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to Americans, he went to Europe, then he came us to Africa. And he then quotes a wonderful section in the Constitution that says, if the court is faced with matters of this nature, they must look at international law and the application of principles to a problem that the court is confronted with. He looked at that. And at the end of that, he decided, and he said, It cannot be that a Department of Education simply looks at it and meets out a rule of this nature, because it would be discriminatory. Children do not choose to be born. That's how he looks at it. Children don't choose to be born. We did not choose to be born. And therefore, he then quotes many other cases. There was a case in the Constitutional Court of Juma Murshid where it was specifically said that basic education is an important socioeconomic right directed, among other things, at promoting and developing a child's personality. Let's think about it just now. Your personality and mine, yes, it comes from home, but there at home, there, that's where exactly that education begins. But beyond my home environment, I meet other children from other families, and we meet at school. Then he says, that's where we develop the personality, we develop the talents, and the mental and physical abilities to his or her fullest potential. We would not be on radio. We would not be lawyers. We would not be pastors. And that potential would not have been realized if we had not been given basic education. So he looks at it, and at the end of the day, he nullifies everything that was meted out or written by the Department of Education. And let me tell you up front, in that case, the Minister of Basic Education was the first respondent, and the MEC for Education was also a respondent in the case. Even the Department of Education itself, the Minister of Home Affairs was also a respondent in that matter. They were all put in because it was known that the rights pertaining to children are universal. They apply at birth. They apply even at that moment when a child has to go to school. They apply there. Oh, Zama, you will not forget the words of Mandela when President Mandela says, "We see a nation as a good nation if and when we look at how it takes care of its own children." That's what Mandela said. If a nation is a nation, we look at its children, and that's where we will be able to see that, yes, this is a nation that makes sense. When we speak about sovereignty, we should not, according to Mandela and even this judgment, all of them actually, shall I say, academicize them, but we should have practical application of these principles to our lives. And there are many articles that have been written, many of them. There's an article I read that was produced in the Potsdam University, and that article was written by a certain Magemalaji in the northwest side of it. And he was arguing also that it is wrong for us to try and discriminate about children or against children simply because they are not documented. That's the position. For instance, you take this one. A child is born to parents who come here and they are illegal, like we had the March to March now recently.
Yeah.
Now, these children are not yet documented. The effect of that is that they are referred to and they're given a title. We say they are stateless. They are neither South Africans at that point, neither are they, say, for argument's sake, Zimbabweans. Now, they've got to go to school. And that's why these international principles and tools apply. And our constitution applies to that kind of a situation. We look at what we call the best interest of a child, irrespective of what the situation of the child is. You will have a debate from, for instance, the establishment, from government, because they will say, look, they came here. They are taxing us. We don't have the money. That's what they will tell you. By the way, it's not like it is unreal when they say that we don't have the money. That's a real situation. Moreover, there is a reality that we will probably say, and when we do so, let the child perish together with the parent who came here illegally. If anything, we are deporting you as a parent, therefore your child also should be taken to task and let that child be deported. Now, I was involved in a case of this nature some time ago. And I will not forget in 2019 in November, when my friend Pastor Bildad from Nairobi, Kenya, had to leave South Africa. Now, his children, for instance, one was 9 years old and the other was just about 6 months old. The child had, they were detained there at the OR Tambo and was called by the conference to come and assist. I pleaded with the police, the immigration officials, to at least then let the mother and the two children go home. If there's someone they would like to arrest because there's something that has been committed that is illegal, at least let's then take the father. Fortunately, the pastor was saying, Bangisi, I would like rather to be the one arrested, but leave my wife and my children to go. And that's the way we should behave as a people. We've got to be able to give our children the freedom to exercise life because they are not responsible for their birth. They are not responsible for being coming here. We would be referring them to them as stateless and therefore even deny them education. The courts say no. You must give education to every child, whether they are here or they are not here. That's how the standard is like. If anything, the Americans apply this particular standard because their constitution as well hold them to this very same standard. Of course, you know that they are crazy there, but it's not them only that are crazy. We have joined in the craziness, especially in our, in our quest to clean the country from people that have come here illegally. We have joined in, and as we join in, the politics tends to affect children and their dignity. Now, we've got to know that when it comes to children, human rights law protect them.
Yep.
The best interest of children is what is a, is an expression that we use at all times. We can't let children suffer for the sins of their mothers and their fathers. It would be unfair. And so says our court, so says J.P. Benenge, so says the Constitutional Court, and we have now had many cases in Mpumalanga, even here in Gauteng, we've had many cases, and eventually, in my view, it's now child law. Children must be at school, period. That's how it goes. Dimlo.
Yeah. Now, the interest of the child, according to the law, comes first, notwithstanding any circumstances. So this is just across the board. As long as the child is in as long as the child is in danger in terms of their rights and interest, they come first. That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. That's exactly the bottom line. In fact, there was a very interesting in the article I'm referring to. I've referred to you earlier. It says that all departments, all schools, all leaders of education must have an explicit instruction to schools specifying that every learner has a right to access the school. Finish! If ever there were to be an exception to this particular rule, they would be charged and they would be taken to court. They would have to come and account so that they tell the court why is it that they put these limitations in the way they do, even if you have that Section 36 of the Constitution where you want to have limitations. When it comes to children, the right to education for children, it gets to be number one to all other competing rights, including that right where we would say, yeah, but the money that is reserved for our own in South Africa is now suddenly being shared, and our education standard is lowered because they are also suddenly benefiting from us. Where else? The question that always will arise will be, where else should they then benefit? Because they are here at that stage. Mm. And if they are here at that stage, you cannot impose that onerous condition that says, if you don't have documentation, you may not benefit from the money that is budgeted for the education department at that time. It is just not allowed anymore. They will try, because politicians are politicians. At all times, politicians will try everything. And that's why you need to have an independent judiciary. That independent judiciary will at all times look at the effect of any rule you make that may deny the basic right of a child to access education. That's how they will do it.
Yeah. Advocate Bangise, thank you so much for your time and joining us this afternoon. Very interesting discussion. Thank you so much again.
God bless you, ma'am.
Thank you, and bye-bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.